Ladies and gentlemen, the next broadcast is dedicated to Her Majesty the Queen on her 90th year. So there we are. Very, very good day. Welcome to the James Whale Radio Show. And it is, of course, this show dedicated to Her Majesty, 90 years, still going strong, and our longest-serving monarch, longest-reigning monarch. Isn't that fabulous, Robbo?
Is she really 90, though, or is it a lie?
No, she's really 90. She's really 90. And there were days, years that I was not a fan of the royal family.
Are you a fan now?
Oh, huge. You know, and I repent. And I know I work with people who are terrible about the royal family. I hate them all, by the way. Anybody who's rude about the family, I have. Listen. We have politicians and people moan about them all the time. Everybody, you know, moans. You may have read that I've been sacked by a BBC station I work for in the week.
Last week, yeah.
Yeah, and spurious by some stupid little newspaper in somewhere like Tunbridge Wells who decided to make up a story about me. But they're going to be dealt with, so let's not worry about that. But you know, people just have to have a dig, don't they?
What, in the garden?
Well, no, they just have to have a dig about people who've got something they haven't. I mean, I imagine that the editor of the whatever it is newspaper in Tunbridge Wells probably wants to be me. Now, I can understand that he would like to be me, because would you want to be him?
I don't know him. Is he any good?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. You know, a newspaper like that? No, I wouldn't have thought so at all. But I digress. So the story you may have read in all the newspapers last week is completely fatuous, as was said. But I'm waiting for the originator of the story to put the story about me being sacked for racially abusing an Australian, if you can imagine. How would you do that?
I don't think you can. It's not a race, is it?
Well, I don't know. Well, that's a standard of journalism. Anyway, so the paper who started this, who decided to go with this story after listening to a radio show I was doing, where I was taking the mick out of Australians, who were there defending themselves, by the way, has not come forward and apologised. And I'm hoping that he will put a front page spread on his newspaper as big as the one he did last week.
Is it a real newspaper or is it an online one?
No, it's a real newspaper.
It gets printed.
Yeah.
Oh, how did they change the headline then? When he quickly changed?
Well, that was one that was online.
You're right.
So it got to one online, but they withdrew it pretty quickly. Mm. But it was there for a day. Yeah, of course.
And then all the other big major papers picked it up.
They followed it. Yeah. Mm. But the whole point is, this is usually jealousy.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, you know, people are rude about politicians, sometimes with real reason, of course, it has to be said. But other times, just because they're jealous. Just because they're jealous. And I can't think of anybody who criticizes the royal family who does it for any other reason than they are jealous.
Nope, I agree. I can't think of anyone.
You know, even you in Wales.
Yes, I like the royal family.
Pay homage to the Prince of Wales, the monarch's eldest, of course, is always bestowed with the title of Prince of Wales, because, you know, we like to show that we care about our Welsh cousins.
Yeah, I had the future king living around the corner from me a few months ago.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the other thing, you see, they did a survey the other day, and apparently it costs us all something like seven. I can't remember exactly, so don't hold this as gospel. But something like about 70p a year.
Bargain.
Well, what can you get for 70p a year?
A Snickers bar, one a year.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 70p a week. I don't care. Whatever it is, it's a bargain, isn't it?
It's a year, definitely a year.
Is it a year?
Okay. Definitely.
I mean, you get them all. You even get the ones you didn't really want, or the ones you didn't even know about.
Yeah, you get everything, including the dogs.
Yeah, you get all the dogs. You get everything. 70 people. That's the whole of the royal family you get.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think if we didn't have the royal family, to make a serious point, we would have to have a president, or we'd have to have a ceremonial head. And knowing how the civil service work a bit, I would imagine it would cost a lot more than the royal family. And they, you know, they do the job. They have to do the job. We don't have to worry about electing them. Contrary to public opinion, they don't really have any control or any say over your life or my life. Maybe they should. Maybe they should. And all the Republicans that I have met, and I'm making a sweeping generalization here, but you know my address, jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. What is it?
jameswhaleradio@gmail.com.
jameswhaleradio@gmail.com. So you just get in touch if you think I'm wrong. But generally speaking, you do find that Republicans are rather dowdy, boring, miserable, groany sort of people, don't you?
As you like to say, grunters.
Yeah, you do. You see, Republicans just are upset because they're not in the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not in. I don't care. I like to see the household cavalry. I like to see the guards in their red tunics and all the pomp and ceremony that goes with it. I think that's great. Friend of mine, Dick Pierce, famous jazz musician, of course, was in the Household Cavalry Band many, many years ago.
Think of all the people that would be unemployed if they got
rid
of the Queen.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So I would just like to dedicate the whole of the show today from all our friends across the world, across the universe, who listen to the James Whale Radio Show. And we rejoice in the fact that we have our royal family still intact after all these years.
So you're still trying to get that knighthood then?
No. I'm thinking more of Lord James.
Lord James.
Lord James, yeah.
You know, you can get one of those for about 80 quid online.
Yeah, but I don't really need one because I always feel when you come in and the way you like to walk into a room and then walk backwards out of it always makes me feel just that little bit special.
I like to keep my eye on you at all times. That's why I'm
good
walking
man
out backwards.
Good man. So, you know, and the other thing is they've been having a moan recently in the papers about William and Kate and off on a jolly and don't they have a great life and haven't they got fun things to do? Well, it's not as if they can choose where they go. They get sent. I'm sure they can have a holiday occasionally if they want one. Don't get me wrong. But there aren't many people who would be bothered. I wouldn't. If I knew I was going to be the monarch, I don't think I'd be bothered to learn to fly a helicopter or go to battle in Afghanistan, would you?
I wouldn't mind learning to fly a helicopter, but I don't think I want to go to battle.
You know, I mean, these guys, they have to do it. It's not a question of, look, I think I quite fancy being on the radio, having a show like that, James Whale. So if you don't mind, I would like to forego being the next in line to the throne. Do you think that would be all right? No, well, William, no, it wouldn't, to be honest with you. You've got a function and you have to fulfill it. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. No chance I could just give. I've met this girl, Kate. We'd like to go and get married, settle down, just have a normal life, and I'll just do a normal job, and we'll get on with it.
No, you're going to be king one day. Going to be king, and that's your destiny.
So in a way, you can't have any plans of your own, can you?
It's a bit like being in a Jedi Order.
It is, isn't it? It's exactly like that. So they were born to a role that they will have to fulfill. And I think, you know, Queen Elizabeth has done that. She said she would never abdicate. I feel a bit sorry for Charles. He's been in waiting for his entire life. But I hope he doesn't feel his life has been in vain, because if you are... If you are the next in line to the throne and the monarch takes the throne at a very early age, the chances are you might get to be monarch, but you might only get to be monarch for about 10 or 15 years at the end of your life.
Yeah. Not that easy, has he, really?
No, no, I feel a bit sorry for Charles. Some people say he's a bit loopy. And you know, if you were in his position, you might feel the same way. So I just think we should respectfully wish Her Majesty a very, very happy 90th birthday and an excellent year ahead, don't you?
I think so, yes.
Yeah. And if you are one of those scummy Republicans who moan nonstop about what a drain on the country the royal family is and how unfair it is and how terrible it is, well, here's an idea. Why don't you go and live in America? Well, why don't you go and live in any country that doesn't have a monarch and see if you enjoy it more? If you enjoy it more, then you can stay. I give you my permission.
President Boris, coming soon.
Thank you very much, Adi. Shall we take a break?
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Webb Radio Show.
Ah, there we are. So, by the way, don't forget, if you want to advertise on the program, drop us an email, jameswellradio@gmail.com. That'll find us. And whilst you're here, why don't you check out the website as well at jameswellradio.co.uk. Just picked up the new Ford Focus ST, by the way. I'm having a little test drive of at the moment.
Any good?
Oh, golly gosh, is it good? I mean, it handles beautifully.
In all those 30-mile-an-hour roads that you've got round near you?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter because, you know, you can drive it at a slow speed, but you still realise it handles beautifully, stops on a button and accelerates up to the legal speed smoothly and properly. It's really nice, really very good indeed.
Is it that new sporty-looking one?
Yes, yeah, got black wheels. Quite like the black wheels.
Have you got tinted windows?
I have, yes. I have got tinted windows. Well, this one has got tinted windows, yeah.
So it's a pimped out one then.
It's a what?
It's a pimped out car then.
I've always had pimped out cars. I love a pimped out car. Yeah, yeah. But people say, oh, Ford, you know, I tell you, Ford's new car range, it's fantastic, fantastic. I'm looking forward to the new Mustang.
Are you going to get that one?
I'll ask him if I could have a little drive of it. Well, why not?
Can I have the ST when you're driving the Mustang?
Yeah, okay. I mean, well, you know, they advertise on the programmes. The least they could do is let's have a little drive of their cars, can't they?
That's very true.
I see you more in a C-Max, though.
Is that some kind of suit? What's that?
No, that's a sort of family car for a family man with a child and a dog.
Oh, right, okay.
You know, that would be more you. I mean, I think, you know, leave the ST and the pimped-up cars to more my type. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, you wouldn't look right, would you, really, sitting in the front of the car with sort of, you know, unkempt hair and a rather nasty boil on the back of your neck?
No, okay. I'm starting to feel sick now. Can we change the subject?
Oh, that strange mark that's just sort of happened under your nose. I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, I drilled my face. Can I tell you the story about drilling my face? I had a DIY accident and I was drilling and I put the drill bit through my nose. And I had
you
three,
did not?
I did, yeah. And I stuck it together with sellotape and it sort of healed okay. That's a true story.
Do you know, years ago on the James Whale radio show on TV in the 90s, I interviewed a bloke who felt that dentists were all tools of the government and everybody that had their teeth filled were having them filled with little radio receivers so the government could keep an eye on everything we did.
Right.
Because we could always find nutters to talk to on that program.
But all you'd hear is chattering teeth at nighttime.
Ah, well, so he filled his own teeth.
With what?
Well, he had a needle. Don't ever try this at home. This is ridiculous. I went to interview him. We filmed him doing it. He would make up a kind of concoction with flour, water, and glue, right? And he would dig out most of the, if he had some decay with a needle he sterilized, and stick this stuff in it. And he was completely nuts, obviously. But he absolutely believed that fillings were not only were some of them radio receptors, but most of them were dangerous and poisoning us slowly.
Well, that is sort of true, though.
Well, yes, that might be true. But he actually did do this to his own teeth. And what made it even worse, he did it to his wife and he did it to his children.
Oh.
So that's not nice at all, is it? Not nice at all. No. So I forgot where I was going with this. How did that? What were we talking about there then?
We were talking about cars and how I wouldn't look good in a nice car.
Oh, yes, yes. So anyway, check out the new Ford. I put some pictures up of the car. It's in gunmetal grey.
Very nice.
Well, they said, would you like to drive a yellow one round for a while? And I said, no, not really, because, you know, it attracts a lot of attention, doesn't it? Yellow, bright canary yellow.
What, birds?
Well, not birds necessarily, no. Well, it depends what sort of birds you mean, to be honest.
The ones that leave deposits.
Yeah, I've got one on the windscreen now, which is quite nice. Anyway, listen, I think it's probably time to remind people, of course, the sun is shining at the moment. It may not be where you are, or of course, if you're listening in Saudi Arabia, it's probably still shining. It's to go to the shop on the website, pick yourself out a very nice James Whale T-shirt together with a James Whale baseball cap for your holidays, and then maybe a copy of that wonderful book that's on sale called... Oh, gosh, I've forgotten what the title is. What is it called?
Almost Something or Other.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Almost a Celebrity. Yeah. Actually, talking about celebrities as well, would you like to be a celebrity if you were going to be a celebrity? Hey, I've just found that I'm being followed by, I've never heard of this channel, but there's a channel apparently called Babe Station.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, apparently I'm being followed by, in fact, I'll tell you, I'll go and have a look on my Twitter site. I'm being followed by this by this young lady who works on this said television station, which, of course, as I said to you, I don't know anything about. Well, what does it do then?
Well, you might know it as Jiggle TV.
Jiggle TV. Mm. I don't know. I don't know anything.
It's got lots of jiggly bits all over it.
It's got what?
Got lots of people jiggling.
Huh. So anyway, this young lady is called Tori Lee.
Right. Would you like me to get her on as a guest?
T-O-R-I, Tori Lee,
okay.
With two E's, Tori Lee. So I followed her back anyway.
So you want me to give her a call?
Yeah.
Although the number is quite expensive, I see. It's about £1 odd a minute. But
well, I don't know. Just call her normally. Just give her a ring. See if we can get her on. What is this Babe Station? Could I get a job on, you know, I want to get back and do some more television. Could I get a job on this?
Well, I'll give her a call. I'll have a nice chat with her. Probably won't last very long. And then
why?
I don't know. And then we'll see.
Well, I found out that her bloke is a friend of one of my sons.
What?
I said her bloke's a friend of one of my sons.
Is he? She's got a bloke.
She's got a bloke, yeah, why?
Oh, I might not give her a call then.
Well, she's reasonably good looking. Why wouldn't she have a bloke?
I don't know.
Making a funny noise in the background. What are you doing?
I'm making notes. That's my pen.
All right. So a lot of shaking going on.
No, it's my pen.
Okay. Anyway, I will sidetrack myself again. So we'll see if we get Tori Lee on the programme, shall we? Then if you think it's a good idea.
Yeah, but it will cost us a lot of money to make that phone call.
Will it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll look into it. We'll look into it. So if you want to be a celebrity, you need to get some good photographs.
What, for your portfolio?
Yeah, yeah. So I was thinking, I've got a friend, a guy called Chris Bissell, who's really funny. He looks like one of the Rolling Stones. So I thought, why don't we ring him and have a chat? And if anybody's actually fancies being a photographer, well, maybe he can give you a few hints, or maybe he can give you some help. I think he does little courses for people who want to get into photography.
Okay.
So Mind you, everybody thinks they can be a photographer these days, don't they?
Well, everyone's got a camera, haven't they?
Yeah. Must be very difficult to be a photographer, but he's been one for about 40, 50 years.
Is he your photographer?
Oh, he's my, yes. Oh, absolutely, yes.
So is he the one that does all the nice black and white shots of you?
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh.
Yeah. You always need to, I mean, we celebrities always have to have a photographer in tow.
In tow? You mean with you?
With you, with you. All right. Well, have you not wondered why? in the papers, you suddenly see a photograph of a celebrity and you think, how did that photographer just happen to be there at the time they were doing that? You know, you're getting out of a car, there's a photograph, you're going to an event, there's a photograph, you're sitting in a restaurant having a meal, there's a photograph. And people say, well, gosh, that's lucky, there was a photographer there. Celebrities always take their photographer with them.
It's just when the Daily Mail did that story with you the other week, they used the photograph that I took.
Ah, yes. That's a very good point.
I didn't get
paid.
Well,
that's when you can tell it wasn't a proper story, because if it had been a proper story, I would have had my photographer with me.
Oh, I see. That's why I didn't get any money then.
Yeah. But you should get onto the papers concerned and ask for a fee.
I can't, because I put it out on Wikipedia, so it's like... I gave it away free.
Well, there we are. You see, that was a bit silly, wasn't it? That was a bit silly. Listen, let's give Chris a ring and have a chat.
Okie dokie.
Sitting in my room and I'm on my own. It's cold outside and I'm feeling alone. So I turn that dial and the radio's on. I hear James Whale and my troubles are gone. I hear James Whale on the radio. I hear James Whale and his podcast show. I hear James Whale on the radio. James Whale and his podcast show. James Whale on the radio.
Now, the thing is that every one of us now fancies ourselves as a photographer, because you can use your phone. They got really good cameras on. And so if you are a photographer, things can get hard. And I mean very, very hard indeed. Take my good pal, Chris Bissell. Now, if you want to check out his website, you can do that. And you can follow him on Twitter as well. And I'll tell you more about that later on. But we'll put a phone call into Chris, who should be at the end of this line now. Are you there?
Yes, James. I'm in the sunshine in Brighton as we speak. It's wonderful.
Okay, so you're in Brighton. Is that because that's where all the work for photographers is now, or not?
No, I'm kind of sightseeing, and although I did a recent album sleeve here with Fatboy Slim, so the only time I've really worked here is with Norm. But I must say, it's got some great sights. I do like the pier as well.
Now let me listen. As I know you well, you'll just have to pretend I've never met you before. So you're obviously not British, are you?
No, I am British. I'm practicing my North American accent as we speak. No, I was born in this country, but through my teen years, I grew up in Vancouver, and the accent has stuck. So I've spent over half my life in London, but I still sound like a Vancouverite, if that is the expression.
All right, listen, Chris, everybody wants to listen. These are the things people want to be now. They want to be photographer, celebrity, hairdresser, celebrity, chef, actor, rock musician. So you're in one of the treasured professions, but it's getting more and more difficult as we all think we can do it, don't we?
Yeah, everyone does have a camera now, and they have their iPhones. So for photographers that were in the portrait game or whatever, I think they're finding it increasingly more difficult, because mom, dad, and the kids, they all have cameras, and they'll all do shots of themselves, whether it be selfies or you name it. So no, it's becoming very difficult for most photographers, I'd have to say.
When you started out some years ago, what was your goal in the world of photography? What did you want to do?
Actually, how it all started for me, I was on a ship from San Francisco to New Zealand via Hawaii, Tonga, Fiji, make that Fiji, and the ship stopped at Fiji, and I always wanted a camera, so I bartered for one. And when I arrived in New Zealand, there was a couple of friends that were really doing amazing landscape photography. And so I was watching slides, that's color Kodachrome slides, of wonderful scenery shots. And I said, why are these so great? And they thought, oh, it's all about composition. So from that day on, I just practiced. And then I had aspirations. I did portraiture and you name it in New Zealand. And then I thought, I could go back to North America and be a fashion photographer. And that's what I did. And then after spending some years in Western Canada, I decided that London would be the spot to go. Because I had two passports, I headed off in the 80s to London.
Ooh, hang on, let's go back a bit. So when you decided to become a fashion photographer, Chris, did you go to college, did you study, or did you just say, hey man, I'm a fashion photographer?
No, I'm totally self-taught. I kind of thought this would be really cool. It would be nice-looking women. And and so basically, no, I taught myself. I got together with wannabe models. We tested, did this and that. And I sort of perfected the craft of shooting, playing with different light. I always had a strong feel for composition. So what I was able to do was put the models in positions with great backgrounds. I got to know how to talk to them to get a response. And I found out earlier on that you really have to communicate with your subject, i.e. model, actor, musician, it doesn't matter. You've got to make an instant connection, and that's what it's all about. So I really enjoyed it, and I continued doing that. Basically.
So how did you get your big break then? Because tell me some of the people you've actually photographed.
When I first arrived in England, that's an interesting expression. Some of my early clients were in the music. Zandra Rhodes, that came fairly early as well. We hit it off, and I had free will to shoot her Vogue ads. And she didn't control me at all. I just did what I did, and that was it. And I hit up the major record labels, and I was using a movement style called Ambient Spill. And that worked both with fashion and music. So I kind of lucked out on that aspect.
And then when you started doing album sleeves and shooting musicians, where... Did you make a conscious effort that that's what you wanted to do rather than go and photograph people's weddings and their children and their dogs and stuff like that?
Yeah, no, for me, it was a nice controlled environment. Having said that, occasionally I have been asked by, say, a record company chap. He said, look, I don't want a wedding photographer. I want someone a bit more rock and roll. Would you consider doing it? So I said, yeah, I'm up for it. But I treated the whole session as I would normally do, pretty rock and roll. Bride arrived in a Jet Ranger helicopter and doing the group shots, about 100 plus. I'm up a step ladder and I'm doing my usual... You guys, you know, you on the end. And so I really, I've done lots of different things, but I still keep to my own style on how I shoot.
You're like a music conductor, aren't you?
In a way. It is your show. If anything goes wrong, you're responsible. In fact, it's all down to you, the photographer. So I can't mess up.
Tell me about one of the things that people... may remember the Athena posters. We all used to have them on our walls when we were kids. Now, you did quite a few of those, didn't you?
Yes, I did. In fact, that's some of my more enjoyable memories of photographing. I think the first series I did, I hired a Spitfire from North Weald Aerodrome. And I was always an all-weather photographer. And no matter what the weather was, that dictated the mood of the shoot. And it just so happens that day at North Weald, it was raining. Not heavy, but still it was coming down in a mist. And I spent 3-4 hours with a couple. Back then it was always about romantic scenarios. And it worked really well because the water would just be dripping down the fuselage. So that was one of my first shoots. And then I did a sort of James Dean and his brushes. some Aston Martins, used cars, because the creative director of Athena back then was Roger Watt, and I'm still in touch with him to this day. In fact, he lives in Vancouver. I just saw him a couple of months ago, and he was into cars, I did train station shots. I really enjoyed it. The Athena was good fun.
And these were turned into posters that people used to buy purely to put on their walls. And presumably, you, after you've been paid for the session, you would get royalties for those as well, would you?
Yes, it was a percentage of wholesale. They sold worldwide. And in fact, to this day, I'll get an email through my website from people that used to have, say, the Cowboys, the Marlboro type of cowboy shot that I did, and the Spitfires. Lunchtime Laughter was another one I shot on Charlotte Street. People in Vancouver, Australia, throughout the States, they'll say, oh, we used to have a print, and is there any way you could do up another one? So, I accommodate. So I do up some prints from way back when. It's, once again, very good fun.
And who was that model you used to photograph who was really hot in the 80s?
You mean Paula Hamilton?
That's right, yes.
Just before the first Batman movie opened up, and it was at Pinewood Studios. It was a Tim Burton movie, the very first one. And we had total reign of the set. Chris Kenney was the co-producer of the movie. We had a big limo in there, and he was playing Prince music, you know, the soundtrack. It was great. And what I did for myself was I had black and white film already in another body of camera, and did shots for myself. So I was able to do sort of a limited edition kind of prints from that session. But we did other things, Paula. We worked with elephants, six elephants. She was getting a charity going called Tusk Force. Even in Rotherhide, where I'm presently living, as I think you know now, we did something out of barges of the gravel pit. And she was probably the most dynamic model I've ever worked with. And it was in later years, probably later 2000s, we got back in touch, and she was instrumental in introducing me to Britain's Next Top Model. So I did about three or four seasons with that reality TV show. It was, once again, more fun.
Tell me what it's like when you get a model who just won't listen to what you say.
Yes, you've just reminded me of one. It was the one really and one that comes to mind. It was a TV thing again. It was a Katie Price show, actually. And the one model, she was the youngest. She happened to win the competition of the show or whatever it was. But she had it set in her mind of what she was going to do. She was not going to listen to the photographer. And of course, you know, the crew, 35, 40 in the crew, time is ticking over. And you can only spend so much time with each model. And the crew were looking at each other. I was looking at them. And, you know, I was trying to say, look, these are great. And she wasn't having it. And the problem being, I wanted to get a lovely fashion look from her, but she was giving me glamour, and it was a real bit of friction going on. But there's been other cases that arise I can think of where I just sort them out.
Now, as you are with me in the twilight of our years, are you thinking of passing this knowledge on to others?
Yes, there's my first assistant, Harry. For Harriet, who we worked together for the last 4 years, I will pass on certain lighting techniques that I've always kept pretty close to my chest. And she is so on the ball, so together, and I feel like I am mentoring her. And I will. What I will actually do is show her exactly the ins and outs of the ambient spill technique, and it's something that I've been doing since the mid 80s. And it's a type of lighting technique where I freeze the center of the subject, whether it be a model or a 44-ton truck. I've done both. And the edges of the subject and the background become blurred with motion. And you can add color, you can add this and that. I can do it in studio, I can do it outside in sort of sunrise, dusk, you know, low light situations. So I will impart that info to her.
Listen, do not tell them the secret. Make people pay you for the secret.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, James, maybe I should hold a workshop. You know, maybe just a few people, or even just one-on-one. Invite them to my boat down in Docklands, and you know, maybe a workshop would be an idea. What do you think?
Well, listen, we'll put a little ad out on the on our website, maybe, and if anybody's interested, get in touch. Now, finally, just to finish this. Tell everybody, because they probably won't know from listening. First of all, tell me what your website is, how people can go and check you out.
Oh, well, you can just Google Christopher Bissell, B-I-S-S-E-L-L, and it should just pop up the top there. And okay. I got my mobiles on it, my email address. Yeah, very open about that. They can just contact me directly.
All right. Now, who do you look like?
Okay, well, I did a trip to Africa a couple of years ago, and this one American from L.A. hadn't met before, and he was on the flight. It was a 14-seater private jet, and we arrived at South End Airport, and he put down his bags, and he looked at me and went, "Ronnie," as in Ronnie Wood. So I do get, I get stopped a few times. Now and again.
That's not the story you should have told. You should have told the story. We were in the pub at the weekend, and we were leaving, and the woman serving us there wanted to know if you were Ronnie Wood there.
And I said, yes, did I? That's true. It's true. Yeah. No, I've had it in lifts. I've had it quite a bit, actually. Yeah, but the more recent was with you in the pub.
We're going to put a big photograph of you out and pretend that I've done an interview with Ronnie Wood. So that will really
I can do that.
I appreciate the time. I know you're busy today. And if ever anybody needs a really cool photographer for anything at all, get in touch with us, jameswellradio@gmail.com. And I will make sure you get in touch with Mr. Bissell. In the meantime, you're on the beach in Brighton.
Yes.
Can we finish this interview with you and your mate Andy running into the sea, and I can hear the splash?
I'll send you a shot, without a doubt. That'll come very soon. I'll get my iPhone into action. Not a camera, but an iPhone. No, that's bad, isn't it?
If you send us a shot, can we put it up on the on our website, on the Facebook page, Rob?
Yeah, certainly can. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Good. Listen, we're going to do that. Good to talk. See you soon.
Great. Good talking, James. Thanks.
There we are, though. That was Mr. Chris Bissell. Looks like Ronnie Wood. Check out the photograph. Apologies about the sound quality there. Can't you do better with the sound quality?
Well, I could run a long cable all the way down to Brighton Beach. But, you know, if he wants to go and stand next to a seagull and a fire engine or whatever that was,
it's quite funny, actually. And we'll put up on our website, jameswellradio.co.uk, if he sends us a photograph of him on the beach. Which hopefully he should do.
I hope so.
If he doesn't fall in.
Hey, did you see that Johnny Depp thing?
Oh, golly gosh. Wasn't that the most ridiculous thing you've seen? And obviously somebody made him do it.
It looked like he was had some sort of gun pointed at him.
Well, yeah. I mean, I thought, and he didn't look well, did he?
Not well at all.
No. I'll tell you what, let's play some music and come back and talk about that.
Okay, okay.
First, Shake Hands Eric. I do like this title of a band, Shake Hands Eric. Exclusive to the James Whale Radio Show, their new single is called Breathe Master.
These streets can rise to greet my feet in any way. I may ache tomorrow, but I won't let them ache today. Whoa, whoa. The life that makes you laugh a lot is soon kicking in the teeth. Sometimes you're riding up on top, sometimes you're underneath. Whoa. Just ask. we've been missing and nothing's gone away. Don't let your voices in your head consign you to the day bed, unless you need a rest from all your pain.
Shake hands, Eric. Shake hands, James. Shake hands, Bob. Shake hands, everybody. That's Shake Hands, Eric and Breathe Master, their new single. Check it out. iTunes, SoundCloud, anywhere, I would have thought. Now, listen, we were talking, or you brought it up, and the good thing, remind me, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's Australian video of an example of some of their best acting. You may remember they took their dogs to Australia. I've got to be careful here because, you know, I was taking the mick out of Australians the other day. Actually, to be fair, Australians only have to open their mouth to make it easy to do that.
It's another newspaper article on its way.
Oh, damn. Forgot that, yes. I'm not taking it back, though, unless I'm made to apologise.
Well, it's fine, because this time I'm charging for the photo.
Are you? Okay, yes. Well, don't put it out on Wikipedia. So anyway, they took their dogs in, little Jack Russells, and somebody spotted their dogs. And some pompous Australian politician got all huffy about it, and he wanted to make an example of them because they were famous. Poor little dogs. Not going to do any harm, were they?
No.
So Amber Heard was called back to Australia. I don't know why she went, except I assume that they want to make more movies down there.
That's probably the reason, yeah.
Yeah. And I assume, you know, the interesting thing, I assume that the Australians were left with egg on their face because they didn't really, there was all to, oh, she could be put in prison for 10 years and all that sort of rubbish. So they had what can only be described as a mock trial where the poor girl was given a suspended sentence and everybody said, let's shake hands and forget all about it.
Why did they do the video then?
Well, because that was part of the deal. They had to do an apology.
Ah, see, the penny drops now. That's why the video's so bad.
You are pretty slow, aren't you?
Well, I just saw the video. I just thought, what's this all about? I'll ask James.
Well, that was the video of them making... Can we get a copy and put it out? If nobody's seen it, we could put it on the website.
I saw it on your Twitter feed.
Oh, well, you can look there then.
Hmm.
Yeah, just go on my... It'll be there somewhere, won't it?
Hmm. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I mean, it's if you haven't seen it, it really is worth seeing. It is it's not bad acting. It's him saying the words of an apology, but absolutely making no mistake that I don't want to be here. I don't want to say this. And I don't believe a word of it.
Mm.
And quite frankly, you can all go away.
He doesn't like Australians either then.
Well, I don't dislike Australians. Just like, no, I don't. In the same way that Australians love to take the mick out of the Poms.
Who's the Poms?
We're the Poms.
Oh, we're the Poms.
We're the Poms, yeah. They like to take piddle out of the Pom.
Right.
And so I think to reciprocate is only fair as far as Australians are concerned. Well, we've got people listening to this program in Australia.
We have, yes.
The erstwhile mayor of, where was it?
Geelong.
I wanted to say Goolagong, Geelong. Yes, he's not the mayor anymore, sadly.
Oh.
Yeah, he lost his job.
Oh.
Maybe it's time for another interview with him. Anyway, some of your thoughts on Johnny Depp and Amber Heard's Australian video. Hannah, Hannah says, best acting. It was terribly wooden and completely false. Kathleen Hill says, dysfunctional Hollywood at its best. Adam Talbot, no, it was far better than their acting. Pat said, I'd like to see them on Would I Lie to You? Karen Brown said, I thought there was something wrong with him. His speech seemed a bit slurred. Maybe he was jet lagged. Yeah, maybe he was, actually, Karen. That's a good point. Janet Jenkins says, I think they were both on something.
Chair.
On what?
On a chair.
On a chair, yeah. Maureen Brown says, wasn't impressed at all. Johnny Depp just mumbled incoherently. Mark Moody said, they are both so sorry they got caught. That's about it. And Alan Hill says, I think Ricky Gervais described it as being like a hostage video. Do you know that's just what it was like, actually? A hostage video. Please release our dogs.
They've had them back, haven't they?
I don't know. It was all a fuss about nothing. I mean, I know you're not supposed to take animals in or smuggle animals in, but I didn't think they were smuggling them. She said she thought the paperwork had been done. And if you were trying to smuggle them in, would you not have kept them hidden rather than having them on show and taking them to the poodle parlour?
Indeed.
I would have thought. Anyway, it's all finished. They're all happy and everybody's... and I imagine that the lawyers who probably got paid huge amounts of money for dealing with the case are even more happy.
I think the film studio probably took care of the bill.
Mm. Now, should we do a bit of tech talk here? You ready for that?
Not much is happening this week in tech talk.
You know, every flipping week we do tech talk, you say, not much is happening this week. I'm amazed that here we are talking via the net, via DAB, via I don't know what we're talking via. You would have thought there was loads. I mean, huge, huge stories about drones this week.
Drones.
Drones flying into an aircraft. A local authority using drones to fly over people's houses to check out their planning permission. You know, loads of stories about technology.
But you keep telling me you find drones boring, so I don't bother doing drone stories anymore.
Listen, the part of the program that you have sole control over is called Tech Talk.
Yeah.
You know, make the most of it, matey.
Well, there's loads of tech, really, but it's like, is it of any interest to the, the general populace? Can't believe I just said that.
I've no idea. You could say the same about this whole program.
Like, for example, the hosting company 123-Reg deleted thousands of people's websites, causing loads of businesses thousands of pounds worth of damages.
Why did they do that, stupid?
By mistake. So loads of people's websites all went down.
Devils. Why did they do that?
Computer error. What was that? I can hear funny noises.
Have you gone?
I'm still here. What?
I can't hear you.
Hello, I'm still here.
Hang on just a minute. My dog's here. Come here, Shag. Hold on. Don't go away. Hello, Shaggy Dog. Come in. No, wait. Are you all right?
So, yeah, can't I do film talk? I mean, I see about four major films in the cinema every week. You know, yeah. I'm probably better at talking about films than tech.
Well, why don't you do tech talk and film talk?
You know, I saw The Jungle Book in IMAX 3D at the weekend. And last week, I saw...
Was that like?
That was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah, really good.
You see, I did a subject this week on another program about a cinema chain wanting to allow you to use your phone in there.
Oh, yeah, I had that story as well. Yeah, the thing is, I was going to mention that last week, but then the cinema chain decided against it, so it was a non-story.
Mm. And I don't go to the cinema very much because I don't want to sit there with people eating chewing gum and eating popcorn and talking to each other. It annoys me intensely.
That's why I go to the IMAX screenings, because you get a sofa to yourself, basically.
Do you?
Mm.
I've never been to one of those.
Well, I'll have to take you then.
Yes, well, let's do that. Why don't we do film talk?
Film talk, okay.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, a quick hi to all those radio stations, of course, taking this program out. Nice to be with you in radio and Radio 25, and there's Radio 1, I think, in New York, and lots of stations that are taking this program. Nice to be with you.
Our goldfish died the other day.
No. Oh, that is sad.
What do I do with the dead goldfish?
Well, you bury it.
Ah, that was my question.
Yeah, you bury it. You make a little grave and you bury it.
I see. It's like he died 2 days ago. And it's in a little jug.
We not talk about death. I've got Shaggy on my lap now, and he's sort of going on 13 at the moment. He's feeling a bit sorry for himself, so I'm giving him a bit of a cuddle.
Okay.
You all right? Eh?
He's all right, though, isn't he?
You all right? Bit of an old bloke, aren't you? Bit stiff. Okay. Do you think it's time now? You've depressed me talking about the death of the goldfish. Shall we finish the show this week with questions for the whale?
Okay. I have them somewhere. They're on the front page. I put them on the front page this week so I could find them easy.
Yeah. Hang on. Was that you making that funny noise?
No.
Okay. Right. Go on.
Okay. You ready? Yeah. Hayden Robson. Need another show, James, on holiday in Lanzarote. I've just run out. Oh, that's not a question. It's a comment.
Well, hang on. How can... We've got 150 or no, 100 and something shows. How can he have run out?
Well, it's a long holiday.
It must be a long holiday. Go to jameswhaleradio.co.uk and go right back to the beginning. What was it, Hayden?
Beginning of what? Hayden Robson.
No. Yeah, no, his name, Hayden. Right. Go back to the... Keep up. Go back to the beginning and listen to program one.
Or listen to this one.
Yeah, listen to this one. You won't have heard this one. That's a very good idea.
Well, up to this point, yeah. From now on, it's new.
Yeah. Right, cracking on with the questions, if you could.
John Scott. James, whatever happened to your old producer, Ash? And who is the best, Ash or Rob?
Well, that would be very... It's like asking you which is your favourite dog, isn't it? You can't do that. Ash is still working for TalkSport, and I'm in contact with him from time to time. And as to who is better, Rob or Ash, it really depends where you are.
I don't mind. You can be blunt and brutal, you know.
What?
You can say Ash if you like.
Oh, I see. You're feeling sorry for yourself, are you?
Well, no, I'm not feeling sorry for myself. I'm just allowing you to say what, you know, you don't have to.
Okay. No, I can't make up my mind.
Okay,
it's whoever buys me the best presents and looks after me best, and it's neck and neck at the moment. What can I say?
Okay, Jonathan Mark.
Hello, Jonathan.
Should Axl Rose really front AC/DC?
I don't know. I mean, they've got a whole tour booked, haven't they? You see, I have a lot of history with Brian Johnson, and if you didn't know that, get a hold of a copy of my book and read it. I'm thinking of selling, and now Brian's left, has he permanently left AC/DC or not, or is it just for this tour?
He's permanently left now.
Yeah, because if he works any more in that situation, he's going to go deaf, isn't that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of history with Brian. In fact, I've got a fabulous photograph of him and me about 2 years ago. Where he gave me a couple of signed £20 notes because I gave him the money originally to go to London for the audition for AC/DC.
Now people don't have to read your book.
No, but they might want to bid for the notes and the photograph.
That's true. I have a clip to play, if people are interested, of Axl Rose with AC/DC from last weekend.
Go on, then.
I'll tell you a story about a woman I know. I'll come to love her. I said she steals the show. She ain't exactly pretty, ain't exactly small. 1, 2, 3, 9, 56. You can see she got it all.
Well, actually, to be honest, he's nowhere near as good as Brian, is he?
Well, it's a different singer, isn't it?
I'm surprised that they didn't decide to gracefully bow out.
Lots and lots of money involved.
Yeah, and there must be. There must be. And, of course, Brian is still probably due for a bit because he wrote quite a lot of the songs.
Jim Callan. What happened to Luke Skywalker's X-Wing at the end of Empire Strikes Back?
They gave it to the National Natural History Museum, didn't they?
Yeah, if you say so, you're never wrong, so...
Yeah, I know. What did they do with it?
Well, I'm sure it'll make an appearance in episode 8 next year.
Oh, they'll get it back out of the museum then.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Dylan Wynne-Jones.
Dylan.
Yeah.
You're Welsh, you shouldn't say Dylan. Dylan.
Okay. Swallows arrived today in North Wales. Four or five days later than the normal appearance, usually 14th, 15th of April. Any guesses as to why, James?
Well, I can tell you exactly why. The reason was that they got to England, they enjoyed it so much, and thought, oh, well, I suppose it's time for a pop-up to Wales.
Okay, Alan Hill, how much is a decent bow?
You wouldn't get a decent bow for less than about 400 quid.
Wow, I've seen him in Claire's Accessories for about £3 or £4.
Yeah, you said decent.
Jared Doyle, where is the book Pete Townsend is writing?
Ah, well, it's still being written, I think.
Who's Pete Townsend?
Pete Townsend, isn't he with The Who?
He's with The Who. Right.
He's with The Who.
He's with The Who. That clears that up.
Yeah, for goodness sake.
Damo McCoy, you know when you use a muscle you've never used and you're in pain?
Yep.
Is that why newborn babies are always screaming every time they move?
Do you know, you might be right. You might be right. In fact, yes, you are. Listen, I've got to go. I've got to let the dog out. The dog's been moaning for the last 20 minutes.
I don't blame him.
No. All right, guys, listen, join us again, same time next time for the next programme. And check out the website, jamesworldradio.co.uk. And hopefully Mr. Bissell will have posted some pictures.
So I'll see you next week then.
Films.
I'll go and see more films for you.
Yeah, good. Right, catch you later. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/James Whale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.